Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President, Business Development at the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest series comes to you from the 2024 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference in Orlando, Florida, where we consumed 4 full days of content from chief marketers across leading brands. The conference theme was setting the agenda for growth, and we heard a lot about creating unparalleled consumer engagement with help from advanced technology like AI. We heard a lot about creativity, and we heard about a laser focus on what matters most to consumers and never losing sight of humanity as tech continues to expand. RAB had the opportunity to chat with many attendees and speakers about their business, their marketing goals, the issues that they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. AI for ROI is a company that is focused on predictive AI and helping brands work faster and with more precision while predicting behavior before the customer goes to buy. In this episode, Dave Casper, RAB's Senior Vice President of Digital Services, speaks with Terry Jansen, President and CEO of AI for ROI.
Terry Jansen, welcome to Radio on Main Street.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. So you told me right before we started that you've been in AI. So this is a conversation about AI.
Sure.
And the intersection between AI and marketing. And we're here at the ANA where, of course, that theme is, you know, pervasive across the conference again this year. But you just mentioned a moment ago that you've been in AI since 1985. And I think that's really interesting because for a lot of people, you know, AI really popped onto our radar screen about two years ago, ChatGPT, right around Thanksgiving or so, came out with their first release. And now all of a sudden it seems to be the top of the conversation around every single corner we go around. What were you doing in 1985?
Yeah, so people don't realize this, but there was a big boom in AI back in the 80s when all companies were getting into it. Everybody had their AI team, and it was also the time when we were building new architectures of our hardware. Thinking machines was very big. You know, multiple instruction set, multiple processor, machines that could do parallel processing. Some of them much like the human brain with right. very fine granularity. And that all came to a crash in the end of the 80s because the return on investment from this AI didn't pan out and companies weren't making enough money on it. And we went into an AI winter for about the next several decades. It wasn't until some major breakthroughs, now, we should mention that back in 85, we were doing neural networks like the ChatGPT is based on.
Sure.
But we hadn't learned some key things. And then there were some breakthroughs in like 2017. And that's when Jeffrey Hinton, of course, with his student Elia, made some major breakthroughs in facial, image recognition with neural networks. Back in the paper was published, attention is all you need. And it's just a major breakthroughs in the impediments that was keeping the machine learning and the AI down.
Right.
And then, of course, it's kind of common knowledge now. Everybody has their ChatGPT or their Claude or their, Meta or, you know, the Llama 3.1. And so it's now, again, a bigger... I think awareness than it ever was. People are experiencing for the first time that AI is perhaps smarter and more capable than anybody ever dreamed it would be.
Right.
And back in the 80s, we talked big about plans, but none of us believed in the 80s that we would have what we have today.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's generative AI that, you know, that's the thing that sort of brought it to the attention of everyone, and the large language model, the ability to communicate with AI in a very human sort of way that has certainly driven a lot of the interest in it and gotten us where we are today. Your company is AI for ROI, and you're here at the Masters of Marketing Conference in Orlando. Why are you here?
Yes, you know, we've the AFR is based upon 40 years of selling top of the market data for lead generation, and we have Fortune 500 companies which give us testimonials that we've been the best for years. And so this year, with all the AI successes, we decided to take our data into AI, do machine learning with it, and give customers a whole new experience and really reduce their advertising budgets by having AI precision target prospects so that we give the right message at the right time to the right person, a precision targeted person. For example, if you spend all your money on a broad sweep, you spend a lot of money. If you're only spending your money on the large, high, lifetime value customers, then that budget goes down because you're not sending out as many emails, you're not sending out as many postcards in the mail, you're not having to do as much labor on retargeting on social media. And that's what AI is all about. It is doing things faster and having much more precision. And we're leveraging that this year in AI for ROI.
Okay. Can you give me an example of a company, and you don't have to share a specific company name unless you want to, but can you give me an example of a company that's using your AI technology, their data, to speed to market in a way that just wasn't possible before AI was available?
Well, yes. And again, I don't want to start mentioning company names for competitive reasons.
Sure.
We're small. We want to grow and not give it away. The answer is that all companies, if they have smarter, faster, targeted advertising, you're going to save money. And that's just plain intuitive that when you don't have to spend as much money sending out to a broad sweep across, you know, millions of people, you can identify your prospects, get it down to the ones that just matter, and then really go after them with your email in the box. The same, for example, we can predict when somebody's going to buy something before they know they're going to buy it with AI.
Okay.
We can get in their mailbox when they know that's going to happen. We can send out the postcard. We can follow up with the remarketing on social media. So AI is this game changer.
So is a lot of what's happening at the intersection of AI and marketing, is it in that prediction element, figuring out what's next for the consumer?
Well, it certainly is. But, you know, we should mention that generative AI, we call it Gen AI, is the category of generating content. It's good at digesting lots of documents. It's good at generating text from summaries,
sure,
you know, induction. But the AI that was prevalent back in the 1980s when I began was predictive AI. And that's been around and been going strong ever since the 80s. And it's basically very, very similar to statistics because we're using a lot of the same mathematics in order to predict when you have data about everything a person's going to do, everything you can get your hands on, and then you feed that to your machine learning program, then you end up with these elements, this data which can predict the propensity of a person's behavior in the future. And in this case, if we take all the data known about any one person, or population of people, and their behavior over the past, then we can learn those propensities for the future. And when somebody else comes along with those same properties, we can then predict what they're going to do.
Right. And isn't it true when you lay generative AI over the top of predictive AI, and you now have that interface that allows CMOs and marketers to begin asking natural language questions of the data? You now have a way for marketers to be able to interact with the data in a way that just wasn't possible.
Absolutely, and that is a good distinction because they do things differently, and predictive AI is very good at precision prediction. Regenerative AI was never intended for that, and right. So it's not as good. So having this interplay between the two is critical. And even then, I've done 1,000 deep engagements on very deep topics with generative AI, and I've observed that, at least in the past, it's been very bad at deduction compared to some of the earlier 1980s and throughout the next several decades work in predictive AI. Certainly back in the late 80s when Doug Linnett was going strong with psych, people may have forgotten about that, but there was a huge multiple million dollar investment by the DOD into psych. Douglas Linnett at the, I think it was Texas A&M or University in Texas, was leading this project, and he basically used formal logic to do common sense reasoning. And it was very precise. More precise than your generative AI is going to be because it was formal logic, and generative AI is not that. And that made it able to do deductive reasoning much better. Now, what it couldn't do was induction very well. And this is where we've seen great accomplishments in generative AI, because generative AI is inducing, it is inductive. And you can do, you can give it questions, you can have it hypothesize, that's inductive reasoning. Now, neither of them are very good at abductive reasoning, but it may improve over the next years. We're seeing, OpenAI's O1 came out recently is better at reasoning than the 4.0 is.
Right.
And so we're seeing that, and it gets into chain of thought reasoning, you know, where we have these designed to do things in more of a reasoning format than the original generative AI. And we're going to see this exponential growth with capabilities that are just as astounding as the ones today in the future, where every day is a new excitement and new discovery of capability.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? That actually leads nicely into my next question. So is this your first A&A?
It really is. Okay. You know, I spent my entire career in artificial intelligence and quantum computing.
Okay.
For DOD, and I've had been involved with a huge budgets and an awful lot of stuff going on. And it wasn't until I retired and came here to Florida that I was approached in a chance meeting. Someone that said, "Hey, I need to apply AI here," and I said, "Well, sure. Heck, I'm retired. I can change gears from the kinds of science and technology work I was doing for the warfighter and other government programs, intelligence programs, to apply it to marketing."
Okay.
And this is my first A&A.
So my question sort of leads to how the conversation around AI is evolving in marketing. You didn't have to be at last year's conference, I think, to have, some thoughts about this. As you've been working in the AI space over the last year, obviously, as you pointed out, hardly a day goes by where there isn't a new development, a new release, another article, someone talking about regulation. I mean, there's so much going on in the space. From where you stand, how has that conversation evolved over the last year, and where do you think it's going?
Well, we have had such amazing exponential growth with capabilities that, again, I want to emphasize that the AI developers are astonished like everybody else is. None of us believe we should be where we are based upon how it works, because we know how it works, and it's fairly simple. And what has resulted from that, from these, billions of connections of neural networks, has given us capabilities that we wanted to achieve but never thought we would this fast. Certainly to have the discussions of AGI on the table and saying, well, gee, it could be 5 years away. A lot of us a year ago have said, nah, but even since then, it's now looking like it's probably going to happen. And so for marketing and sales and business in general, there's very little in the marketing sales business arena that cannot benefit from AI, machine learning and AI. you know, whether it's an ad campaign or whether it's things like we do, like getting a new business, optimizing your budget, it is useful in almost every endeavor. I mean, hard to, if we were to throw out some topics like resume writing or writing a letter to the customer or customer satisfaction or your new proposal or your reports for government filings for compliance or engineering to be a compliant, all of it is benefiting from AI and machine learning.
Hard to find something where there isn't some space for AI to play a role in it. Is it a stretch to say that marketers, that successful brands need an AI strategy? They just have to have it.
I think that's true.
Part of their success.
I think that if they're going to continue to be successful brands, and not be overtaken, because one thing for sure is the competition's also doing it. And if you don't do it, and they're doing it, you're going to wake up one morning and they will have achieved more with less and then captured market share. And like in advertising, put out advertisements that steal your customers. And so if you don't do AI, you're probably going to be out of business. It's just a matter of time.
Well, everybody we've had on the podcast, so we're gonna take a big turn here. Everyone we've had on the podcast this week, obviously we're RAB, we represent the commercial radio industry, radio in all of its forms. So what I'm interested in knowing next is why radio matters. So I have two questions for you, actually. The first one is that, why does radio matter?
Well, certainly, you know, we get stuck in traffic jams in big urban cities, and we spend an awful lot of time with the radio on. And that time is dedicated attention time, because you don't have the other forms of media. You're not reading the newspaper, you're not watching TV, you're not, doing anything except giving your attention to what's on the road in the radio. And so radio matters.
In this world of so much technology, it's still relevant.
Everybody listens to radio.
And then the last question for you, just finish the statement. Radio works because?
It's a clear message conveyed to a person who often has attention because of the situation. If they're in front of a TV, they get distracted. But when they're in the car, when they're on the beach, when they're jogging, they've got the earplugs in. It's the perfect chance for the radio message to get through.
Oh. Well, thank you for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Great meeting you, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
There is very little that can't be benefited in the marketing and advertising industry from AI. As Terry shared, it's come a very long way, and it still has a long way to go. But one thing is for certain, it's not going away. And when used properly, AI has massive potential to drive efficient growth for brands.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.